Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome, everyone, to another Friday Book Club discussion. And today, I am really excited to introduce to you for the first time, author Laura Thomas. She writes contemporary suspense Christian romance. So welcome, Laura. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Melissa. I'm delighted to be here.
Yes. So do you want to just share where you're from and how you got into writing?
Sure, I'll give you the short version. I'm originally from the UK and I now live in Canada. I've actually lived for the last 30 years in British Columbia, Canada. So my writing, I had a dream to be a writer when I was a small child, buried said dream for 25 years, didn't tell a single soul, not even my husband. And then he unearthed it when I was probably in my mid-30s. And I wanted to be Beatrix Potter. I wanted to write picture books. I've done everything but.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
So how is it you ended up doing everything but?
That's a really good question. It's still my dream. I have a literary agent who's actually shopping my picture book currently. But it's just, I guess, I don't know. I've just prayed my way through this kind of blindly, but trusting. And it just hasn't happened yet. I had no clue how to start writing. So I actually did some courses through the Institute of Children's Literature, which I highly recommend. It was phenomenal. And as a result of that, I went from writing, my first published stuff was writing short stories in children's magazines. So I was like, yay, here I go, doing my picture book thing. And then I wrote a teen short story and they liked that. And so with my next course, I actually made that into a full length teen novel. And so my first book published was Christian teen fiction. I found a publisher and that turned into a trilogy. Then I did a middle grade. Then I've done and I did one nonfiction, which was for marriage. Very out of, out on the side here.
Yeah.
Yes. And then I love to read romantic suspense. That was my favorite genre to read. And so after I finished my third book of my Christian teen fiction, that one was kind of edging on a little bit suspenseful. And I really enjoyed writing it. So I literally just thought, I wonder if I could do this. And well, I guess I've done how many now? Many, many, many books in that genre. So I just loved it. I love that mix of the romance with the sort of page-turning suspense and the element of faith running throughout it. It's kind of a challenge to keep all three. And I really, really enjoy that. And Christmas novellas as well in that genre too, I really enjoy.
Yes. So we just added the contemporary Christian suspense romance to the podcast. So we just kind of expanded that this year.
So glad.
Yeah, because before we started with just historical Christian romance, but I am like you, I found that I really like that suspense. And so I said, let's try it, ladies. And they were game for it. So it's gone really well. And you just had a recent release too, as well, right?
Yes.
And that is book two in your current series?
Yes. The current series is called A Bite of Betrayal series. And that's published by Mountain Brook Inc. And there we are for anybody who's looking. And this is book two in the series. Book three will come out next year. And I've actually just signed a contract for book four, which will be coming out, which will be a Christmas novella.
Okay.
But yeah, this is the series that's actually set in the English countryside. I finally got to go back to my roots with this series and do it all in England, which was a lot of fun.
That is so neat. So tell us a little bit about the characters and maybe a little bit about what they're facing without, you know, giving away too much.
For sure. Yeah, it's always that challenge with the suspense of don't give me spoilers. Yeah, for sure. Well, this series is actually about three sisters and they kind of did the opposite of what I did in my real life. So they are from Canada. They're actually in Vancouver, and they all emigrated over to the UK eventually. So they've kind of done the opposite to me, but they've each got very different stories, very different personalities, very different issues. In the first book, that's the elder sister, Georgia. So she has her own story called Captured in Frame. And then this particular book, The Final Word, is Sophie's story. So we have Georgia as the older sister, then we have twins, Georgia and Harriet. And even though they're identical twins, they're very, very different personalities. And this was particularly fun for me because she's a writer. And how fun is it? They say write what you know. So it was a lot of fun to write her. We first start the book. She's actually in Paris because she's been there for about 8 to 10 years studying, and then really wanting, she had this romantic notion of being a writer in Paris. And while she was there, she actually learned to bake at a patisserie. So she also has that passion too. So the story starts out kind of with a bit of a bang in that she witnesses, she's going to move to England to pursue her writing. And on her final couple of days, she witnesses an attack, which she can't unsee. And that really frightens her and kind of spurs her on into the move. But on her very last night in Paris, she happens to meet this guy, and she doesn't believe in love at first sight. However, this opera singer, she goes to the opera house right in the middle of Paris there, this opera singer, there's just something about him. He's very much like the character in her novel. And she just falls head over heels, which is crazy because she's leaving her country. Anyway, she leaves. And then let's just say the attacker also follows, as does her love interest. There's baggage from an old boyfriend. There's a lot of fun with the sisters. There's this whole trying to get her manuscript done, the Cinderella vibes within the manuscript. Mm-hmm. A lot of betrayal that she feels from her ex, and actually from God as well. So her spiritual journey is pretty intense too. But it was a fun one to write, and it's a page turner. There's a lot of action. There's a lot of things that go horribly wrong.
My goodness. It actually sounds like fun, even just like the sister aspect of it too. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So just, I know we're new to each other, but I have 5 sisters. And so
I have 3. I thought that was a lot.
Yeah. Never. My parents never got a boy, but they do have lots of grandsons now. So
excellent.
Can be happy with that. But anyways, so that whole sister element, I'm loving that. I can't wait to try your books out.
Oh, good.
So this is going to be 4 books. And you said the 4th book will be a novella, a Christmas novella, correct? Okay. Do you have others that you've written before? And are they a standalone set series, or are they connected in any way to your current series?
Yeah, my other series of romantic suspense is actually called the Flight to Freedom series. And that's 5 books. So that's 3 novels and 2 Christmas novellas. Totally different from this English series. So yeah, these ones are their own series. But you can literally pick up, I write my books so that you could literally pick up any one from any series and it's a standalone. Because okay. I get frustrated when I see a book that I think I'm going to love, and then I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about, or this is too complicated to try and work out what happened in previous books. Mm-hmm. So I intentionally write so that you could literally, like, you could pick up this one without reading the first one. I always say, if you want the full experience, then of course, starting at book 1 and working your way through is logical. But like, I've got one called The Lighthouse Baby. And if you love the idea of the Oregon coast and lighthouses and that kind of a small town romance with suspense, you could pick that one up without reading any of the others, no problem.
Okay, very neat. Okay, that's always good to know, because some authors, like for me, and for instance, the series that I'm in, you're going to need to start at book 1 to read my series. You could pick it up, but like kind of like what you're saying, it's going to be a little hard to track.
Sure.
You know, who's who and why is that important and things of that nature. So everybody writes their series a little bit different. So I love to hear that. So can you share if you did some research for your books, and what are just maybe some fun things you came across while doing that?
Ooh, yes. So all my family is in England still. So of course, fantastic excuse to go do some research.
Yeah.
So for this particular book, what did I do? I dragged my husband back there quite happily, but we did, you'll find in this book, there's a scene in Bath, the city of Bath, which is probably my favorite city in England. If you're into books, it is dreamy. There are just the best bookstores ever. So of course, my writer character had to go check out the bookstores and his cobbled streets. It's very, very cute. So we did that for a day. And then after that, I actually got my husband to help me reenact their first date, which was in this ancient pub in the middle of the countryside. And we'd been there once before. And I was like, I'd written down all the details, but I'm like, I want to go back again just to get it really fresh while I'm writing this. So we literally sat in this, you know, with like the low beams and the roaring fire and like all the old pictures and tapestries around us and stuff. And we sat there and we had the conversation. We must have looked a little crazy, but that was so much fun to be able to do that and just go, oh yeah, this really works for a first date. This could be really dreamy. So that was fun.
Oh my goodness. I love it. I love that your husband was okay.
And oh, he's in for it. Absolutely. Absolutely. I also dragged him to Paris, which he did not mind. That was no hardship.
That's funny. So my husband, I drag along too. We've done photo shoots for the covers because I do like a limited edition that has us on it. And he's always been a good sport about it, but he doesn't do any reenacting of scenes with me. He's like, I kind of draw the line there.
Well, my husband did draw the line for one of my other books. I did ask him if he would lock me in the trunk of our car and drive around so I could get a real sense of, and he was like, I'm sorry, I'm not doing that. So I guess he does have his limits.
That is so funny. But you know what? That's really diving in to say, to really get that deep point of view of your character.
Right.
You know, if I was locked in the trunk of a car, what would it look like, feel like, yes. You know, sound like, all of that.
I tried.
He was not going to do it.
He wasn't. No.
Oh, that's so funny. So you talked about the places you visited in England. And what was that town again with the bookstores?
Bath. Like
Bath. Okay.
Taking a bath, you know, literally.
Okay. I love it. So some of our listeners like to travel. So I would just say that's obviously a place you would say to go to
England. Yes, absolutely. 100%. Yeah, for sure.
That is so cool. I hope to one day get across the pond. We'll see.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So where are some places like our listeners could connect? Are you on social media? Do you do newsletter?
Can you just for sure. Yes, I'm on, I think I'm pretty much on everything other than TikTok, to be honest, but especially Instagram and Facebook.
Okay.
And on my website, you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, and I give away a paperback book, a favorite one that I'm reading at the moment, every single month. So do sign up for my newsletter. I always have a baking recipe because I love to bake, and just writing you some reading recommendations, that kind of thing. Yeah, all on laurathomasauthor.com, and all my links to my socials and everything like that, and all my book details. I'm a writing coach, so all those details are all on my website.
That's wonderful. You know, that's great to know, because we do have some listeners that are aspiring authors, and so connecting with you, they'd probably love to do that. Okay. What's your favorite thing to bake?
That's so hard. I love cupcakes. I just love baking them. I just love making them pretty and putting extra sparkles and doing all the frosting and stuff like that.
But fun.
Yeah, I bake anything and everything.
That is so cool. So you truly are like your character in your newest
book. Honestly, in so many ways, yes. And people have said that reading The Final Word has been just like delicious, because I do go into depth with some. Actually, the one cake that I mentioned in this one is called an opera cake, which I hadn't heard of before, but it seemed perfect with the opera singer hero in this, right? So I promised my readers that I would make it after when my book released in the summer, and then I found the recipes and I was like, oh no, this looks tricky. So it was probably the most intricate thing I've ever done, but I did it. And actually, it's on Instagram. It's one of my posts there. But opera cake is probably the trickiest one that I made, but it is delicious.
Oh, I was going to ask, did it taste okay though?
It did. Yeah. Kind of almost like tiramisu-ish, because it's coffee and chocolate and French buttercream and just deliciousness, all these layers of yummy.
It sounds very delicious, actually.
Yeah.
I'll have to get that recipe. And so then you kind of talk about, you share your favorite reads. So do you have any go-to authors that you really enjoy reading, or genres that you go to that you really enjoy?
That's a good question. Actually, I really enjoy World War II fiction. I think it's because it's quite far removed from anything I write. So my brain actually can turn off from like going plot, character. I can just actually enjoy the story. Mm-hmm. Also, I just always imagine my actual grandparents in that scenario because they were in London and just in the thick of it all and stuff. It's not that long ago. So I don't know, just that whole genre really, really appeals to me for sure. Sarah Sundin is one of probably my favorites as well. She writes some great stuff in that genre, particularly. Suspense though, oh gosh, yes, all of them, like Colleen Coble, and of course my mind has just gone totally blank. Natalie Walters, and yeah, just anything that's current, I really enjoy. I love Kate Morton as a historical fiction. Kristen Hannah as well. Anything she writes, I love. Mm-hmm. I read most genres, I would say, other than fantasy and horror, probably. Other than that, yeah. I'm pretty much open to most things.
I could agree with you on that as well. Can't quite get into those genres, but but the rest are very cool. Well, and we've had Sarah on a few times on the podcast with our book club that we run too.
Nice.
She's great. A wealth of knowledge. She loves to go do her research similar to what you did as well.
Yeah, she's very good.
She's very in depth with that time era and just, yeah, she always has lots of nuggets to share. So
awesome. Nice.
And then Colleen Coble, she's actually from the state I'm in. She doesn't live here anymore, but she grew up not far from where I'm at. So it's neat to kind of make that connection too. You never know who's
cool.
An author around you.
I think she might have been the first Christian romantic suspense author that I read back in the day. Yeah. She's prolific.
Yes. She's got quite a few out there. So, all right. And so I always have to ask, do you have like a number one book that is your all-time favorite?
Oh, I do. Yes. Little Women, Louisa May Alcott. It's been my favorite since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
I reread it quite often, especially at Christmas time. I think maybe because I'm one of four daughters as well. I don't know. And a writer. Yeah. It resonates on so many ways. So
it does, doesn't it? Well, you and I both kind of have that connection.
So. It's a classic and it just never gets old. I love it. I even named my French bulldog Louisa May after her. Lulu for short, but yeah.
I love it. So, and your website is laurathomasauthor.com, correct? Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll be sure to put that in the blog for this episode. That way everybody can get connected because it sounds like we all need to sign up for your newsletter.
Love that. Definitely. Yes.
You're giving away reads that you have, some great books and mm-hmm. recipes. And it sounds like a great newsletter to be a part of.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love that.
Well, you know what, Laura? I'm so glad that you reached out to me because you are brand new to me as an author. And I don't think we would have ever connected if you hadn't said, hey, I'm writing these over here. So definitely for our listeners, just so you know, you'll most likely see Laura's books on our podcast in the future. So.
Ooh, I love that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so which means you'll have to come back and do our author interview for your series too at some point.
Absolutely. Yes.
Wonderful. Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for hopping on and spending time with me today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider signing up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors, plus updates on my books. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.